This is Record Royale, where we throw two albums into the ring with one another and see which one comes out on top.
Hey, hello.
All right, last episode here of Australian Music Month. We've done four. We're up to number five. They've all been bloody brilliant, to be honest. Funny, listening back to all these albums and listening to the episodes, all the albums that the guests and us have chosen have been super Australian.
Yeah.
And today is honestly no different at all. when we were planning them, we couldn't possibly think of anyone better to have on the show than the host of Triple J's All-Australian Music Show, Home and Hose, on the radio Monday through Thursday nights. He's also the co-host of the new ABC Sport and Spice show with Miley Silver. And he also predicted Steve Smith's 2019 comeback century in the Ashes. And it's well documented on this show that you know we love our sport. And it is a pleasure, mate, to have you on the show. Declan Byrne, Ooh. How are you?
Yes, thank you. Thanks intro. For having me. I'm glad you got my full CV there. I'm glad that got through to you guys. Nicely the Steve Smith prediction. That's my proudest
the
moment.
Top of your LinkedIn page.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the only thing on there. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, because I was on your Twitter. Isn't it the pinned tweet? I was like, of course it is.
I had to. I actually didn't have it. And a friend was like, oh, you should totally pin that tweet when it started going crazy. I was like, oh, how do you do that? And now it has to stay there. It's got like a thousand, what do you call retweets. Them on Twitter? All that stuff. So, it's a big moment.
So good.
This is going to be, maybe I'll repin when this comes out. This will get the Indian cricket fans going, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we're trying to hit, mostly.
Yeah, it's the market
we want.
This is developing into an Ashes podcast. So
yeah, it's the lead up.
Yeah, we'll see if the Ashes even goes ahead. Apparently, it's meant to be shit weather all summer, so that's just going to break my heart if we can't go to Sydney day three.
Yeah, I've got tickets to a couple as well. If the rain ruins the Ashes, I mean, it's been a crap 2 years, but that will top it off.
I was going to say we don't. We don't deserve that. We need Sun and Steve Smith 300.
Yeah.
Declan, how's the Australian Music Month been? We're at the pointy end now, so how's the past 25 days been?
Yeah, it's always pretty fun. I mean, it doesn't change anything on my show. Obviously, I still do the same show, but the whole of this, you know, the whole of the station at Triple J really gets involved, and it's good to see everyone beyond Triple J get into it. The Aussie Music T-shirt Day seems to have like snowballed, and you know, you see people who you never expect to be wearing them, so that's a fun part of it. But yeah, the Arias was last night, we had the J Awards last week. It's been fun.
True. Did you go to the Arias?
No, I didn't. No. Right. I've only been to one Arias. It was fairly average. Have you guys ever been?
No. I'd love to see what it's
haven't
like.
Copped an invite, surprisingly.
Yeah, should be the now.
Yeah. Probably win album of the year. Hopefully get one then.
You hopefully get a bait then. Yeah, it was okay. Last night though, it looked like they did like a speed ceremony, and then it was just all about the parties. So I didn't, unfortunately, but stoked to see Genesis take home a few.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And he DJ'd after?
That would have probably been better if it was a speed one.
Yeah. I saw him DJing. I saw him DJing and singing along, which usually when a DJ does that, you'd be like, mate, shut up. But when Genesis Owusu does it, that's pretty cool.
We've actually have a shared experience between us all of that sort of situation. When we saw Mark Hoppus one time do a DJ set, and it was just him playing Blink songs and singing his parts, and that's all it was. That was the greatest night of our lives.
It was mad.
Yeah.
It was so good.
one of the best nights of my life, without a doubt. Because it was like already, so last minute. We were like...
we'd already gone out.
It was like 10 o'clock at night.
We'd been out and
we came back and I was like, wait.
And then went out again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Ever. And I don't know, would you have seen Blink-182 live?
I haven't.
I had the opportunity to. I went to Soundwave 2013, but they played at the same time as Metallica, and I was so into Metallica at the time, so I saw them instead. Damn. So I've never seen him live, but I saw Mark Hoppus.
I feel like
play click a button.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Pretty that awkward. Was pretty fun. Definitely had that vibe of this is just kind of awkward without the rest of the band there. It's kind of
we loved
day,
it,
so. But it was so, good. Yeah. Nice. How's Sport and Spice been? How's the transition from doing all music to all sport?
Yeah, it's been really fun. Marley and I hadn't done much together, so we kind of got in a studio and just hoped that we would be able to chat sport. And as I'm sure you guys know, if you connect with someone about sport, you could talk for like, you know, 5 days of a test. You wouldn't run out of chat. So yeah, Marley and I really like it. Bringing something different to ABC Sport, who are, I'm guessing they're not going to be listening, but a lot of older dudes doing doing the different shows. So it's been nice to talk about some of those issues that maybe they don't talk about or don't want to.
I've got to ask. I was thinking, when Declan Burns not on the clock, are you still listening to Aussie music, or are you throwing it back to like Powderfinger, like you're doing today, or is it that new Adele? What? Are you constantly on the clock? Or
it's funny. We played the new Adele on the podcast because the person we had on, chose the song, and I was like, oh, this is the first time I'm hearing this song. And Marley was like, what the hell? You're in such a bubble. And in real life, I am, like, outside of doing my work, I am in a bubble. Yeah. Like, I don't. Even my favorite bands, I love the bands like Spoon and Parquet Courts. They're two of my favorite non-Aussie bands. They've put out new music in the last few years, and I just don't think I even like gave it more than one listen, which I don't know why. It's pretty sad, actually, now I say it out loud. But it's mostly Australian music, even on the outside.
Cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. I imagine, because I would imagine being, you know, full-time music on the air, you kind of want to get away from music a little bit. That's why you're probably stoked to be doing the sports show.
Yes. In saying that, I do end my day, and sometimes we're cooking dinner and Gretel, my wife's like, oh, should we put on music? And I was like, is it okay if we don't? Like, I just want some silence. My ears are exhausted, because your ears get tired after like 8 hours of listening to stuff. So some nights I'm like, no, I just need some silence. I just need everything to be quiet.
Do you have to just set like aside a whole day of work for Unearth reviews? Just like a one single day? Because like you and Dave just pump out. I'll just see you've just uploaded like 100 of them, and I just think, how do you have the patience, and just like, how are you able to sit still and do that?
Look, the boring side of it is that I like keep notes on most, like just about every song I hear. Yep. So those notes are pretty easily turned into an Unearth review. Mm-hmm. And because my show's only an hour, I don't get to play all the songs I want to. So this is like a fun way for me to say some nice stuff about the band. But no, I sprinkle it across the week. Although Friday, I generally try to pump out like at least a couple of hours.
Is there a quota?
No, there's no quota. No. There is like an in-staff email of like who's reviewed how many per week. Yeah. Like Tommy, who's the head of Unearthed, he sends that round.
Yeah.
Just a little scorecard to either shame or celebrate. And I'm proud to say I'm pretty much always at the top of that.
Brilliant. Employee of the week.
Good to see.
On that note, are there any Smokies that we should chuck the housewife and kids on to win the hottest 100 this year? Or who do you think are going to be the favourites for that? Because it's coming up pretty soon, actually, because Oz Music Month ends and kind of look towards hottest 100.
Mm. Yeah, voting will open in a couple of weeks, I think. I think it's pretty open this year. I thought last year was pretty open as well. Mm. Like the Kid Laroi and Bieber's Stay, that's just been everywhere. I don't know though how like Triple J voters will feel about Bieber.
Mm. That'll be on my list, I reckon.
Oh, it's such a good song. So good.
Yeah. And it's 2 minutes, and it's just like, I can listen to it again. Let's go again. Another round.
Yeah. I know. So Matt, like that would be my pick now, but I can't think of anything else that will like gang. You know, you look to the big guns like Gang of Youths and Lime Cordial, who pretty much always get thousands and thousands of votes. But I'd be stoked if Laroi got it.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
I would love to see a Justin Bieber like interview. You know how you always interview the winners, and he would probably has no idea what Triple J is.
No, he'd be like, "What's
thank you the for Hot 100."
Nah, well, given that even Laroi is hard to get hold of these days, I think Triple J would just be stoked to get him. Yeah. But that's don't risk that. Yeah.
Wife, house, kids.
The big
threat. Hold off. Maybe just a kid. So the albums we're doing, Ballpark Music, self-titled, Powderfinger, Odyssey number 5, one classic and one probably soon to be classic Australian album. Out of all the albums that you could have chosen, what made you go with these two?
Oh, well, I was surprised Odyssey number 5 hadn't been taken because I thought when I was coming on today, I was like, I've got to do a classic, and Powderfinger was growing up like probably my favorite Australian band ever. It probably still is. And this is their go-to album, like this and Internationalist. I put them on level pegging. But Odyssey number 5 is just like, there is not a second wasted on it. I feel like most people, if they grew up liking Australian music, Aussie rock, they'd have some sort of story or like memory attached to one of these songs or multiple. And then I wanted to compare it to something new. And so it was fun when we sort of thought about they were both Brizzy acts. I kind of hadn't really thought about how similar they were.
They really are.
They really so are. Like similar. When I was listening to both, it's crazy, absolutely. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The vocals especially, I was like, holy shit.
And it really sounds like if Powderfinger just like, if they kept going, maybe.
Yeah.
And started incorporating modern elements, I feel like you could just get the Paul Buck music.
Yeah. Yeah, and sure. I hadn't even realized that before as much as I did after listening to these albums on repeat. But especially the vocals, something about Sam and Bernard. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but I'm a pretty shitty singer, but I always feel like I could maybe sing like both of them. Like they sort of sing like the everyman.
Exactly. Yeah.
The common man.
Yeah. The common man.
Like the everyman really in the shower. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Sweet as. All right. Well, I'm going to smash through a little facts of these. If you hear anything I say, don't be shy to join in on these. The producer of the Powderfinger album, though, pretty crazy discography he's got. Anyway, I'll get into it. So Powderfinger, formed in Brisbane, 1989. Got Bernard Fanning, John Collins, Ian Haug, I think, Darren Middleton, John Coghill. Oh, some Australian bloody names as well.
Coghill.
Yeah. Dazza. This is their fourth studio album, released on September 4th, 2000 by Universal Music. It's produced by Nick DeDia. So he's an American producer who lives in Byron now. He's probably lived in Byron for a while, but these are the bands that he's worked with. Audioslave, Billy Talent, Bruce Springsteen, Pearl Jam, The Offspring, Rage Against the Machine, and he did Wax's debut record as well.
Oh, wow.
There was like huge amount of others that I left off, but they're just like...
A win for Wax.
Massive fun.
Yeah, I know. But Bernard Fanning worked on that pretty closely with them too, so I think he probably just said, yo, Nick, do you want to come do this cool band?
Yeah, that is an absolute win. Four singles, My Kind of Scene, My Happiness, Like a Dog, kind of fire, because The Meter was also released with the B-side, Waiting for the Sun. Yep. These Days was released like way before the album cycle, so it wasn't actually classified as a single. Peaked at 1 in Australia, of course. My Happiness won the 2001 ARIA Award for Single of the Year. It also topped the Hottest 100. My Kind of Scene came in at 3rd that year. These Days topped the Hottest 100 the year before in 1999. And in 2011, the album was voted number 1 in Triple J's Hottest 100 Australian Albums of All Time. And they won ARIA Awards for Album of the Year, Highest Selling Album. Is that still an award? Not sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. Probably best not, rock album and best cover art.
They might have
group.
Most streamed.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
They probably changed that one up. So pretty much they cleaned up in the turn of the century on all forms. Like Hottest 100 2 years in a row. Probably... Are Powderfinger the most... Do they have the most votes in the Hottest 100? Or is that Bernard Fanning himself?
Oh, as in the most songs in
the most
countdown?
Songs
I
in.
Swear
yeah.
The Living End are heaps higher up there as well, aren't they?
Yeah, the Living End. It's like Silverchair.
Dave Grohl is as well.
Yeah, Silverchair maybe.
Yeah, Dave Grohl actually. In all his different forms.
Yeah.
I don't know it off by heart. Art, sorry, even though I'll probably get fired for not knowing every fact.
You get shamed on that list now.
Yeah. Might have to talk to the manager after this one. All right, so Ballpark Music, also formed in Brizzy, 2008. Sam Cromack, Jennifer Boyce, Paul Furness, Dean Hansen, and Daniel Hansen. They're twins, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice. Love that. Love some brotherly connection in the band. Sixth studio album released on October 23rd last year, 2020, by Prawn Records, which is their label. It's produced by Paul McKercher. He's worked with Pete Murray, The Vines, Spiderbait, Eskimo Joe, so some big Aussie players in that list. Three singles, Spark Up, Day and Age, and Cherub, peaked at 2 in Australia, and Cherub polled at number 4 on Hottest 100 2020. And last night, it was nominated for Best Independent Release and Best Rock Album at the ARIAs. Didn't win, unfortunately. Best Independent Release, that would have been Genesis Owusu, and then Middle Kids won Best Rock Album.
Right.
So that's very, cool. very relevant on that one. All right, that's all the facts I got for these two bands. Let's get into the elements. We already kind of touched on it, but I kind of thought like ballpark music. I've always thought this. Ballpark music have had the most like unique song structures, like out of any Australian band. Like no song sounds the same, and they're never predictable. And then I listened to Powderfinger, and I was like, oh shit, this is probably where they got it from, because so many of the songs on this album, just you don't know where they're going to go. And I think it's a lot we said with the vocals. They sound very similar, but the song structures on both albums are crazy.
Yeah, they're not like a specific, always a specific genre either. They kind of just sway into a little bit of everything. It's just more just the songwriting is like kind of similar, I guess, across each one. But yeah, there's no distinct style, which is great.
Yeah, you could say like with a lot of these albums that we've had in this era, there's been a lot of ones that have been a bit of a slog because they have like 4 or 5 minute songs and we don't have the attention spans anymore. But that wasn't the case this week, I don't think.
No, it was
good. And that's because of those like those differences and all those different like all those different musicality and all the different lyrics as well.
Yeah,
that like looking within and observing stuff as well. I think it's very like it was such a good listen. I was so surprised and so like enthusiastic about it as well.
It's like that. There were, you talked about the song structure, like it's like there were brother sister songs as well, like on like long, you know, like Cherub in These Days sort of tie into each other. Like there's Like a Dog and then Head Like a Sieve, the sort of more angsty, angrier ones. So even though they are unpredictable, you listen to both albums, you're like, oh okay, yeah, you can see where one might have got influence from the other.
Yeah, and what you said, Brad, the long, like Cherub off Ballpark Music, 5.5 minutes long, and that came in number 4 on the Hottest 100. So it's like a testament to how good the songwriting is.
That track, I haven't seen Ballpark Music recently, but surely that's their closer, and because it's the perfect closer. Like it just sounds it's like the perfect closer to a set. Yeah.
Well, that's the cruel thing. They also haven't been able to play hardly any gigs. So like that song, which like you're right, Adam, it's like you want to see that live. You feel like that's going to be emotional. And they haven't really been able to play it. I don't know. That's for me growing up, I've seen Powderfinger plenty of times and I have all those like, you know, big emotional cathartic sing-along moments. I remember I went to their last, I'm pretty sure it was their last tour and like 2 songs in, the woman in front of me said, hey, we came here to hear Bernard sing, not you.
What a rip.
And I was like, well, I'm sorry, but I'm here to sing very loudly. You might have to move. It's their last ever show.
I was watching one of those. Actually, it might not have been that one. It might have been from the tour with Silverchair. Was that the Across the Great Divide?
Across the Great Divide.
Bernard, I kind of forgot about this fashion thing from the early 2000s, but do you remember when people used to wear those, like it was not really a scarf, but it's a scarf. It's like a cross between a scarf and a tie. It's a thin scarf that doesn't really do anything. Bernard has a great one in a lot of those videos. Yeah. Like and it seemed like from all the ones from that tour, he had different ones for each show, which was...
He just looks like a music teacher.
Yeah.
He does, like a tiny bit daggy, like you look at them now. Because he used to rock the coat and t-shirt look. Was the scarf involved in that as well at that period, or were they separate?
He had that situation going for the AFL Grand Final. That exact... Yeah. Both the scarf and the jacket. Actually, that's a very strange video if you guys want to look it up. Their setup, they had, I think it was Bulger Street era, and they had, like, there was just, like, 10 guys around the stage that were standing on these big poles and then just, like, leaning around. And that was, like, the whole stagecraft. Very, very strange. And kind of impressive, but also unimpressive.
So they, on that tour with Silverchair, I'm sure Daniel Johns didn't get outdone in the wardrobe department.
He would have just worn a vest and nothing else, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was his go-to. I think that would have been him. Yeah. That was a cool tour as well. That was sick. Like two bands right at the kind of, well, just beyond the peak, but right at their peak.
Yeah.
So cool.
Well, you said at the start how you were surprised that no one's done this album. We have been tossing up to do this album against the Silverchair album for so long. And then, because last year, Australian Music Month, and this year, we've just had guests on, and we're like, oh, we'll just let them choose. And we're like, no one's chosen it. Maybe we should just do it in a random month. And they're like, oh, no, we'll wait for November.
Have you done any Silverchair ones?
We haven't.
No, actually, not yet.
Yeah.
We should.
It'd be a cool comparison, but I don't know. It's cool. It's fun to do it to a totally new album because you obviously would see the similarities between Powderfinger and Silverchair.
Yeah,
they were, you know, on the same trajectory.
There's been a couple of recommendations for Frog Stomp and Hungry Ghost by Violent Soho.
Yeah,
pretty good one.
I like that.
Wouldn't be bad.
No, it wouldn't be. I have to get into that as well.
This Ballpark Music album, I was thinking, Head Like a Sieve, I have written, sounds so much like a Beatles song. It's unbelievable. Like, there's so many elements to it. I don't know if anyone picked up on it, but they even kind of sing in a little bit of an accent in parts of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What if you listen back to it, the bass line is like, sounds like it's straight off Magical Mystery Tour. And then he does like a 1, 2, 3, 4 in part of it.
It does. It does sound a bit psychedelic, like Beatles.
Yeah, I was going to say. You hear like the guitar follow the melody as well. Yeah. Like very like King Giz sort of style. They love doing that. Yeah. That's what I kind of picked up on with the guitar solo as well.
Mm. Yeah, same very on Beatles Bad Taste Blues. Psyche. Guitar, little psyche guitar line on that. It's really cool.
Mm. Yeah, that one's like right at the end of the album, or towards the end of the album. That's a really great one, which sort of pops up. You're like, oh, this came out of nowhere.
Yeah. It's got a great... like a little post-chorus bit as well, just like following each part. It's like that big ascending thing. Really nice little earworm. I think that's this Ballpark Music album's just full of earworms everywhere.
The first half of the album feels like a lot more like fast paced, like kind of sing and dance to, and the second half's like the I don't know, soundtrack for like a nice long road trip drive over a sunset or some shit. Because like Turning Zero, the closer. It's just such a delicate, beautiful track. I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and both bands kind of do that too, like change the mood up and like can give you a full-on rock song, and then like, yeah, even Powderfinger, like whatever makes you happy, their album closer is like the real emotional one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And My Kind of Scene is such a tearjerker as well. I have this written down. Found this fact about that. That was, I didn't know, it was in the Mission Impossible movie.
Really?
Because apparently
Mission Impossible 2, I think.
Tom Cruise himself is a massive Powderfinger fan. Yeah.
I wonder if that was Nicole introducing.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, for sure.
Nuts.
That's and, cool.
Yeah, apparently they got kind of big in the US about it, over that one song. But I can't imagine where that would be in Mission Impossible. Like, maybe it was just the credits or something, because it's not exactly high octane.
In the director's cut.
No. Crying some scenes.
I'm sure there's I actually haven't seen Mission Impossible 2. I'm sure there's a down, heartfelt moment, though. Is there any of that?
You're
in
pretty
Mission
sure,
Impossible?
Are you? Yeah, having
I don't know.
I mean, it's a blockbuster movie. Surely there's a big somber moment where
the mission was
Fanning can come in.
Yeah.
when the mission. Yeah, when they found out the mission was in fact impossible.
Yeah.
Put that on.
Guys, it's the end of the franchise. The mission was actually impossible. Tom's had to retire.
Decent. Alright, should we get into the segments? So we can finish this one on time. Alright. Let's kick it off with Get Inked.
Get Inked.
Rightio. Make some tattoo designs from the lyrics or the something to do with these albums. Brad, you can go first this week.
Oh, please no.
Yeah, you're going. On you go.
I think I've got these mixed up around from Ballpark Music. From Cat Kit. I'm a big fan of like bootleg Instagram pages and all that sort of stuff, all those Twitter ones. So I'm just going to have a Kit Kat logo, but it says Cat Kit.
Yep.
Awful.
That's not... It's not bad.
The level's there. Wow, Brad.
Yeah, exactly right.
Started it high.
And for Powderfinger, from Thrillology, I think the lyric is, "The shooting star is hardly seen, outshined by every other beam." I was thinking... I don't know where I got this from. I'm thinking like you can get like a bunch of planets on the back of your back, and then you can like put little arrows towards some moles and say these are the shooting stars. And then you can have other ones saying like these are satellites and shit. So a big astrology back tap. Maybe you can say Odyssey up the top as well.
Nice.
Oh, I like that. That's a lot of commitment, though.
It could also be ongoing, because if you get any new growths,
that's true.
Adds new to the constellation.
Yeah, or constellation of moles. Yeah, don't cut out that cancer. I need that.
I need it. The Odyssey. The finishing piece.
The galaxy.
Yeah.
Nice, Brad.
Nothing to do with the song, really. Just like moles.
Moly moly. Yeah, nice. All right. Mine from Powderfinger, Like a Dog. So I read that song's about John Howard's like reluctance to bridge the gap between like Indigenous Australians and what they were living in. So this is what, 1999, 2000. So I was just thinking, it's like, you know that video, it's classic, you'll know it. John Howard trying to bowl, like when he visited Pakistan.
Yeah.
Like he's just the shittest bowl ever. If you type into Google John Howard, the first thing that comes up is John Howard bowling.
Is it?
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, just getting like Bernard Fanning playing cricket, he's batting, he's about to hit the ball, and John Howard's face is the ball itself. Yeah.
I like it.
Nice. That's
great. Very good, Sandy.
So that's that one. And then really from Bedroom on Ballpark's album, the line is, I stand naked in my bedroom. So there's a bit of a cross-album tattoo. So you know their first album where they have like the naked dude and he's like looking into the mountains? So I'm just thinking of getting the naked dude in his bedroom from like that album, and he's looking out the window and like, you know the classic window, it's got four little spots and like the cross in the middle. One of the little spots has the moon from the album's artwork. Uh-huh. So he's looking into that.
That's pretty cool.
That's probably like a large back piece as well.
Yeah.
That's
sick.
Most of ours do end up being back pieces. None of them you would ever get.
They're all just murals.
The odd t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My one for Powderfinger, I had just from My Happiness, the first line of the chorus, My Happiness is Slowly Creeping Back. You know, have you guys seen the music video for that song? And it's the Slinky, and it's just like going through the city, kind of looking. It's like a sad Slinky. I was thinking maybe just like a Slinky, slinking. Is that what you would say? From under a rain cloud and then like under a sun, so it's slowly creeping back.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Maybe
that could be nice. Slinking. And the Waiting for the Sun reference.
Yeah, like, yeah. Didn't think of that, but exactly right.
Take it.
And then my one for Ballpark Music from Day and Age as a line, my mind is filled with rattlesnakes. Just thinking like a hectic head tat of just like heaps of rattlesnakes like curled up around your skull would be really scary. But I'd have to shave my head, but it would be good.
Well, be so worth it for that sweet piece.
I'm a bald
piece.
Man, so I'll give that a crack, maybe.
Yeah, you should. No one will ever mess with you.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, there's rattlesnake head guy coming.
He's going to steal some stuff.
Declan, what are your tattoo designs?
Yeah, so I went the same song and almost the same lyric as Brad, but I went just before it. So from Thrill Oilogy for Powderfinger, I went, I'm hosing down your shooting star. And I just had this like, and both bands, I think we've sort of mentioned, like feel iconically Australian and like suburban, that you could be your mates. And just had this suburban image of a man in his backyard, like trying to hose down a star. Maybe he's like shaking his fist at it as well. And then maybe there's like the second level, it's a bit of like tall poppy syndrome as well. Oh, so I'm trying to hose down.
Oh, a tattoo with multiple levels. I like that. That doesn't happen often on this show.
Well, this next one has one bass level, so I'm going to even it out. From the Ballpark song, I Feel Nothing. Literally the title, I Feel Nothing, and it's a picture of a person getting tattooed. Actually, there is a few levels to this. It's like tattoo inception. They're getting like a tattoo on their eyeball.
Oh.
Can you actually get tattoos on your eyeball? I meant to Google that.
I reckon you can.
Like, maybe you can get them on your eyelid, can't you?
I think
it
would affect your sight. I think it might blind you, but like if you really wanted it and you could keep your eye open, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal though.
So yeah, something real pain, something gnarly. Maybe that's the one for rattlesnake head person. It's like, I feel nothing. I've got a tattoo on my eye.
Yeah.
Side note, there was a guy in my year at school who in like year 7, I guess, is a thing to make mates. He used to say that he would feel no pain, and he would just say, punch me in the arm, I feel no pain. And his name on Facebook was Andrew No Pain.
Pretty sure there's one of those kids.
Maybe that guy has that tattoo now. I don't know. He was pretty scary.
Andy.
Tattoo me. I got no. I feel no pain. Right on the eyeball. Let's go. Yeah, decent. Oh, some pretty good tattoos in there.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the ad. Alrighty, we're just naming our top two songs, one from each album. We're going to reverse order. Declan, what are your favourite songs from each album?
Wow, okay. Well, just in case you guys don't pick it, I'm going to pick These Days from Odyssey number 5. So obviously, I think Powderfinger call it in there, like their big three. They basically had to play it in every show.
Yeah.
I had a story which solidified Powderfinger as my favourite band ever. Was my dog died and we went to the vet to say goodbye to her. And it was really emotional. First dog of mine that had died. So like hadn't really first anything important that had died to me. So I like hadn't experienced that sort of pain. Mm. And then I had to go to my RSL job straight from the vet and got in the car. It's pouring down rain. Not coincidental. I'm also crying, but it was also raining. And turn on the car and These Days is on. And I was like, oh, Bernard, Powderfinger, you've done it again.
Brings
like,
you back.
Fuck, yeah.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was perfect. It was beautiful. I remember getting to the RSL and, like, clearly having puffy eyes. And someone was like, what's wrong? I was like, my dog just died, which is probably... I probably shouldn't have told them because it kind of dampens the whole mood of the shift.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Powderfinger These Days, that was... that was a... That's the soundtrack to that really sad moment. Beautiful. And Ballpark, I'm going to go... I'm tossing up. I'm again, just in case it doesn't get added, I'm going to go Cherub, as you said, number 4 in the Hottest 100. Has a very, and I said before, has a very similar feel to These Days, like that emotional, quite reflective, personal feel to it. It's a big 5-minute, so yeah, just beautiful song, beautiful, beautiful song.
Sweet ass. Adam, what are yours?
My one for Powderfinger, I'm probably going to go My Kind of Scene, I think. That one, I talked about it before, it's just it's really emotional. It's like definitely one of their more ballady songs. And I think coupled with the music video for it, I remember seeing that as a kid and it just, it's very emotional. It's him in like a car crash kind of thing. And it's, I don't know, just always, I don't know what emotion it's conjuring, but always makes me just like... little twinkles on my spine when I listen to that track. It's, yeah, it's great. And then for Ballpark, I'm probably gonna go Head Like a Sieve, I think, for all the reasons we've said before. Like, just, it sounds like a really good Beatles track and it's really fun. And I think it's just a really good example of Sam's, like, his lyrics are so great on it. And yeah, just a great Ballpark song, I think.
They love the Beatles too, Ballpark.
Yeah,
so yeah. So what did they do on the set? They did they do Hey Jude.
Oh, true. Yeah, they did. I think about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. I'm gonna do The Meter for Odyssey number 5. I think.
Dang it.
Yeah, sorry, mate. We've all kind of chosen like the more like emotional tracks. I think this song sounded like a little bit biblical. I don't know. I didn't read into the lyrics, but it just kind of had that feel. It was really good though. The hooks are so good on this album. And
the bridge in that is sick as well.
Yeah. And then for Ballpark, I'm going Bad Taste Blues Part 3. Which,
what the hell, Will?
Same ones, exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Scramble time, Brad.
Think again, mate.
I'm freaking out. shaking.
Bad Taste Blues 1 and 2 are both on Museum, their second album, which I went back and listened to. Also great songs. Who would have thought?
Cool.
It's like about I read it was about seeking inspiration and then like panicking about whether you think it's gone for good. I thought that's a really sick, really smart song idea. Also sounded a little bit Courtney Barnett-esque.
Yeah.
She's still in my head from the other week. yeah, so they're mine. What are your new ones then, Brad?
Okay. I'm going to go Thrill Oilogy.
Thrill Oilogy.
super, a real like dynamic song. It like goes fast, gets slow. Really cool outro, and one of their longer ones as well, and kept me interested the whole way. For Ballpark, I'll just go Nothing Ever Goes My Way. Just a nice pop track.
Yeah,
super fun. Just kind of like Head Like a Sieve in that way. Super fun. Yeah, have a great time. I'm keen. We saw these guys. Were you there, Sandy, when we saw these guys at, was it Groovin' one year?
I've seen them at Groovin', yeah.
Yeah,
I reckon. I was sure. Gonna say before, they're like still the festival band. Yeah. I reckon when festivals get back up and running, they're going to be highly sought after still, as they should be.
Yeah. I would love to see a couple of these songs live.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah. All right, sweet. You can find that playlist on Spotify. Let's have a look. Let's have a look how many songs it has now. The Record Royale adds 456 songs, 28 and a half hours. So if anyone's chasing 28 and a half hours of music, head to the Record Royale ads. We've got you covered.
It's the long haul flight you've got planned for that first holiday. Where you go via like Shanghai or somewhere.
It's got a really great vibe. Save 20 bucks. To LMFAO and then a little bit of this.
Straight into My Chemical Romance.
A bit of Metallica. You know, it's good. It's got it all. If you want to listen to every genre, it's really good for that as well.
Yeah, it'll really get you out of your cage if you're stuck on one genre.
Yeah.
Sweet as. Yeah, go follow that playlist. We're going to do Shark Tank. Alrighty, Declan, this segment, us three, myself, Adam and Bradley, we're going to be picking a song title, and then we're going to make a business idea, we're going to pitch it to you, and at the end, you have to decide which business you'd give your hypothetical investment money into.
I'm excited. It's not hypothetical, I just won the lottery, guys, so I've got like $1 million here to give.
Well, that's good. Well, that's not enough, actually. I'm looking for like $5 billion. So,
some of our ideas sometimes... The Earth doesn't have enough money for them, so
no. We'll probably mine as well. I'll kick it off. So my business is called My Kind of Scene, or MKOS. MKOS. MKOS is an app that lets you generate different settings into your living room through a VR simulation. All right, so get this. For example, you're like away on a weekend holiday. I don't know. You've gone up the coast and you really love the pub that you're having a beer and a feed at. All you have to do is open up MKOS on your phone, take like a 360 photo of the room on your phone. Then once you're back at home, open up the app again, click the model button, and your room will like transfer into that restaurant and it'll feel like a VR kind of thing.
But do you have to have goggles on?
Nah, that's why I need like $5 billion.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
You don't have to wear goggles.
Technology. No. It's new technology. It actually transforms your room into that. And then once you click the
alchemy.
Button, your room, you're comfy.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. So, and that, like, it's your kind of scene. You'll never have to leave your scene again. Wow.
And other people, if they walk in, can they see this scene or is it just you?
Yeah. No, it transforms for everyone.
So why would anyone ever go to a restaurant twice? They just go once and then...
Well, I'm thinking maybe you can't actually. I'm thinking maybe there can be two. You can pay. So first subscription's like $150,000, and you get the visualizations, but you can't actually use anything. Like if you want to pour a beer, you can't. You have to have your own beer.
Okay.
Right. And then like if you want to pay like $1 billion, then that's when you can transform your shit. So there's two subscriptions. Okay. Free. Amazing. It's just like you get to look at it on your phone. Then $150,000 and then $5 billion. So
cool.
You make your money back with one $5 billion.
It's really, this is for the everyman.
right on demo episode. On this.
Yeah. So that's my kind of scene. What's yours, Adam?
Mine's called Like a Dog. We've talked about it on the pod. I've recently adopted a greyhound. And I often think when he's just lazing around sleeping all day, I just think you have life. So good, and you have no worries really, except for when am I going to get to eat. So like a dog, it's a retreat where you can escape from the rat race and you can live like a dog for a weekend. So you can get into it as much as you want. You can really actually pretend to be a dog, which is, I mean, you don't have to do that, where clothes are optional, you know, do the full thing. Or there's just like huge fires that you can lie in front of. And you can just watch TV. You get fed at certain times. You don't have to pick what you're getting. It's always good food, but it just comes to you.
Are you on your hands and knees? Like
if you choose to do that, there'll be some weird people that go and then want to do that full thing. But it's more just the idea of not having to literally worry about anything. And there's no phones cool. or anything like that.
Are there postmen?
There's postman, and you can chase him if you want.
You get to chase, okay, cool.
And they're wearing padding, so, you know, you can hurt them if you want.
You can gnaw, yeah.
If you need to get out some, like, anger from your work in the week. That's like a dog. It's a retreat in Byron Bay.
What's the cost for someone to go? Oh, it's in Byron.
Yeah, it's in Byron as well. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. All right, Bradley. Nice,
mate. Mine's called Whatever Makes You Happy. Mine's, this is quite normal. it's a brand new free wellbeing app made by the government to help boost spirits during these unfortunate times. You chuck in your definition of what makes you happy and then like some things, some examples that make you happy, and it generates a feed purely of photos and videos and links that increase overall positivity and happiness. There's no like profiles or followers, or you don't have to do anything for anyone. It's just like an app that you can go on if you're feeling a bit sad, and you can scroll through and then something nice comes up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but it's by the government, so like that's why like there doesn't have to be any money into it, because they're pumping money into it. So
but what do they get from that? What are they mining?
Just data. Yeah. Heaps of data.
Stats, yeah.
It's like a census data, kind of as well, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. It's like a census. I'm thinking don't make that the tagline, Brad. That's going to turn a lot of people off.
My tagline is like Pinterest, but better. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. Nice. I was thinking that okay. Sounds like Pinterest kind of, but...
Mm.
Wow. And wait, I can only give my $1 million to one, right?
Yeah. Or... It sounds like you'll need $1 billion for some.
Five.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go for my kind of scene. I'm going to go.
Yes.
Even though my shares are going to be like 0.01 of my investment, but it would just be so cool. I mean, maybe you've got me at a time when the last 2 years I haven't been able to really go all the places I wanted to, but imagine if I could be like, oh, I want to be in that amazing, you know, day club in Greece, and I can just make it happen here. That would be very cool. I kind of think you'd have to wear goggles, but Will, if you're telling me you don't have to wear goggles and you can literally transform the fabric of my house,
so much easier for you if it was just goggles.
Yeah,
really. Yeah. I've crunched the numbers. $5 billion, no goggles.
Oh.
Yeah. A cent less, and yeah, goggles are necessary for sure.
Okay. All right. I'm putting in $1 million. So. Look, I'll come back to you in like 30 years when you get your funding, and I can't wait.
I think it would like hinder the travel.
Yeah, destroy the economy.
Business. Yes. Yeah,
yeah. My dad's in the travel industry. He'd actually probably disown me. Not getting on a plane. But yeah, no, I'm doing it.
All right. Well, don't tell him to hold his breath. I don't think my kind of scene will be happening anytime soon. We'll see. We'll see though. Thanks for the win, though. That's great. I've cleaned up a bit on Shark Tank this season.
Have.
Yeah.
Mate. You've done well, mate.
I'm sure there's a few entrepreneurs listening.
Do you want a medal?
Don't steal my shit. Don't steal my kind of scene. That's mine. $5 billion and you can have it, though. All right, we got one more segment. It's called Two Truths and a Lie. Who's up this week? You're about to ask.
Oh, I am.
All righty.
Cool.
Adam's got three statements about the band. Two are true, one's a lie. We got to figure out the lie. Take it away, Mr. Lindsay.
All right, so all three of these are Powderfinger related.
Cool.
First one, Powderfinger went on tour with Pantera in 1994 and were bullied by the band and their fans. After playing to 100,000 people supporting Crowded House at their farewell show, the band were almost killed during their flight back home when their plane flew through an electrical storm. Bernard Fanning got in a fight with Russell Crowe following the band's first performance in the US in 1998. Crowe drunkenly invited them back to his house, and when the band declined because they had to go to the city the next day, Russell Crowe grabbed Bernard Fanning.
Wow.
Shit, that's
hard. I hope they're all true.
Yeah.
That's all sound great.
Whichever one you made up.
They have a really good page about Powderfinger on their website. It's their whole biography. It's really good.
Props to you for whichever one you made up, because he's a good...
Mm.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe, 98. He would have been pretty peak. When did Gladiator come out? 2000?
Yeah, Gladiator was 01, I think. Or
I'm sure he did some stuff before. So Russell Crowe, though. We mentioned someone else before, didn't we? And they were kind of like on the same level as Russell Crowe. And I'm thinking maybe you saw the same thing. Can't remember who it was though.
What was the middle one again? Oh, the Crowded House support.
Yeah, the farewell very show. They almost died. Yeah. They flew through an electric.
What year was that? Do you have a year?
I don't have a year.
Crowded
for that
House.
One.
Stop playing chess. Pantera.
I think Pantera is true. I think
that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Hope that's true.
Yeah, and as if Pantera would get on with Powderfinger.
Yeah. And 94 as well.
I know. I don't have pre-scarf era.
That was just the whole statement as well, which was strange.
Yeah.
They went on tour with Pantera and they were bullied by the band and fans, and it didn't say what the bullying
This is it.
Yeah.
Right.
Verbal, physical.
I personally think the Russell Crowe one. I think if I was making that up and I was like, which tough guy, I would pick Russell Crowe to fight Powderfinger.
Yeah, there's even a whole South Park episode about how Russell Crowe just fights everything. Great one if anyone's chasing. I'm thinking that one too.
I'll go the second one then, just for spirit of competition.
Yeah, I usually do the old spirit of competition, but I'm also going to go three. I'm going with Russell Crowe as well.
Okay. All right. Powderfinger did go on tour with Pantera in 1994 and were bullied by the band and fans. And it was actually one of the first times the band, they realized they didn't want to play like super rock music. And that's when they went a little bit more introspective with their music because they hated
Got bullied out of it.
Yeah. I think that was when they were more like their first couple EPs when they were more like just grungy. And then after playing to 100,000 people, supporting crowded house at their farewell show, the band were almost killed. And I made up the one about Russell Crowe.
Bugger.
They actually did go back to his house, though. That happened.
Oh, right.
And they partied and then almost missed the bus. But I did think back to that South Park fighting everyone. And I was I wonder if that would be a crazy fight to witness. Anyway, there you go.
That was a good one.
Quick hypothetical. If Russell Crowe had a fight against all five Powderfinger members. Actually, no, Ian Hogg's he looks like he could fight.
Yeah, he's a big, but yeah.
Darren couldn't fight. I don't know if Bernard could fight. I feel like Russell would get through at least a few of them, and then maybe Hoagie would come in and just...
Are we talking Russell Crowe 2021 or Russell Crowe 2001?
Yeah. I think Russell Crowe 2021 would be... I feel like he's probably gotten even angrier. He's that footy strength. he's a footy club owner. He would have had to make some... He would have been in some arguments in his life, that guy. I reckon...
Taking a few hit-ups.
I reckon he could easily destroy Powderfinger.
You reckon he goes to training and just runs at them?
Yeah, he would just shoulder
them. Let Uncle Russ have a go. Fine.
No need for the tackle bags today, boys.
Yeah,
does that every year when the Rabbitohs first start. He just goes and puts one hit on just to show him his boss.
Wears his gladiator outfit down.
Yeah.
First hit of preseason must be running at Russell.
All right. Whoever can put me on the deck is captain. Captain for this upcoming season. Siggy in mouth as well, for sure. Yeah. Nice work, Adam. Yeah. They were good. Good. All right, we got one more thing left to do. We got to rate these albums out of 10. Out of 10, what the for Powderfinger? 10 bugger. Freaking dogs.
dogs.
That's shit.
10 dogs.
But yeah, that's we're doing bad. Dogs. Out of 10, cat kits, maybe. Maybe.
Yep.
Seeds?
Yeah, sounds
Seeds?
Good.
Sorry?
Cherubs.
Seeds. Cherubs. 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 Cherubs.
Yeah, that's much more pretty. Let's do that. All right, Adam, you can kick it off. Powderfinger, we'll go around the room. And dogs.
I'm going to go a 9, I think. It's undeniable, the songwriting on this album. And it's obviously now and forever will be just in the Australian songbook, a lot of the songs on this album, and for good reason. The only reason it's not a 10, maybe I usually would give that to more of a conceptual sort of thing, I guess. And it's more just really, really solid songwriting. And as we said before, Bernard's vocals and his lyricism is the everyman. And I think that anyone can sort of gravitate to that, at least in Australia. So, yeah, I'll go 9.
Okay. Nice. Brad?
I feel like 9 dogs feels pretty good. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go 9. Yeah. I think this is... I was so surprised because I've never listened to this start to finish. And I was so surprised as a body of work how how great it is and how how interesting it all is and how it sounds, how cool it sounds even back then, how dynamic it is. Yeah. I thought it was a brilliant listen. And yeah, give it a 9.
Sweet. I'm gonna have to go a 9. 8 feels too low, funnily enough.
It does.
Sorry to be boring as,
it's
but
a classic.
It's not a 10 and it's not an 8, so who would have thought, but it's a 9. The what this album does so well is like the slow and kind of more quiet parts. They're never dull. A lot of albums that they just try and be slow and like emotional just cause that's when they suck. But this album, both albums actually, the more delicate moments are like the standout tracks, standout parts of the album. And then the rock songs, like a Dog, that song was so good. And like When These Days kicks in, and yeah, it's great. It's a 9. That's what it is. Declan?
I'm going to give it a big fat 10.
Yes.
Yeah, boom.
Go.
Boom.
Yeah, I just don't think there's a second wasted on it. Like, I, you know, listened again, and I was like, this doesn't sound lame at all or dated. Like you've said, it's like, it's really dynamic. It takes in a few different sounds. And in terms of the Powderfinger discography as well, like Vulture Street's a bit too straight rock for me. Internationalist is awesome, but it's maybe a little bit abstract in parts. This one, I just feel like it has it all. And yeah, again, personally, like I songs like relate to my life and I have all these great memories. So yep, I'm giving it the big 10.
Bang.
Boom. Beautiful. There it is.
Love to see it.
All right, let's do Ballpark out of 10. Lovely little delicate cherubs.
I'm going to go an 8 cherubs. Only because I think that I loved this album this week. I thought that, like, I hadn't listened to it all the way through. I'd heard all the singles mainly because it was huge on Triple J. And obviously they're all flawless. I think the songwriting on it is really, really good. The only reason I would give it an 8 is I think that it's not quite as good as, it's just one less than Odyssey. But I think it could definitely be a future Australian classic. And Ballpark just keep getting better and better. I remember when their first couple of albums came out, they've been around for a while now, and like I still think that their next one could be their best album, which is a really good thing. So yeah, I'll go an 8.
Sweet ass. Brad?
I don't want to copy Adam, but I think I will. I'm going to go an 8 as well. I wouldn't give it any higher just because I have my personal favourites from Ballpark, and some of them are not on this album. So maybe the peak of this album doesn't go as high as some of their other albums, but this is still such a fun listen. It's got a bit of everything, just like Odyssey number 5, and I can't wait to see it live.
Nice.
Beautiful. Big fat 8.
I'm actually going to go 9. This album's so good. Pretty much all the same reasons that I said the Powderfinger album was so good, but Ballpark, this is their 6th album. Their first one came out in, what, like 2010? Maybe 2011. Yeah. So they've just been churning out records, and they're so consistent. And as I said before, their song structures and their songwriting is just so unique, and I love it. And yeah, this album, because I know, haven't listened to this album in full. Obviously, I had the singles, but yeah, I'll be going through this again and again. Yeah. It's really good. So yeah, easy 9 for myself. What about you, Declan?
Yeah, I'm going to go a 9 as well. Yeah, you guys have mentioned it. The fact that it's their 6th album and they were still kind of getting better is amazing. I think this compares, like, I think it's on par with their first record, which was my favorite up until now. So yeah, pretty sick that they can come out 10 years later and be even better. I reckon it's just got all those things. Whereas Powderfinger might be a bit like political in parts that you mentioned before about Like a Dog, like this is just a bit kooky and a little bit weird at times, which I liked. So yeah, not quite an Odyssey number 5 yet, but yeah, I'm going 9.
Beautiful. Sweet as. That is some very high huge scores. Freaking great, scores. Damn. They're going to be top two seeds for a while.
They will. In the big tourney.
Yeah, upcoming soon. All right, Powderfinger, though. Odyssey number 5. Gets the win. 37 out of 40. Not bad. Beats Ballpark. Self-titled 34 out of 40 in the last episode of Australian Music Month. Hot damn. Hot damn.
Finished on a good one. Big bang. That's great.
Yeah, we did. Declan, thanks for choosing those albums. Thank you for coming on the show. That was a brilliant little week of listening.
That was fun. The Battle of Brisbane.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, it's funny because last episode of Australian Music Month, Battle of Brisbane. Next week, it's the Battle of New Zealand. We got Jamie and Kieran from Baker's Eddie. Still probably one of the best, if not the best, like local live bands ever that we played with or that I've ever seen. And they're doing
so good live, aren't they?
Crazily good. God, their energy is unreal. And they're doing 2 New Zealand albums. She had. the General Electric against the Mint Chicks, Crazy Yes, Dumb No. I haven't listened to the Mint Chicks.
Yeah, neither.
So
I'm keen.
That's Ruben from Unknown Mall Orchestra. He's like,
oh,
that first project he was in with his brother.
Oh,
pretty sure.
True. Okay,
that'll be really
sweet.
Good.
Ass.
I haven't listened yet.
Yeah, I'm keen.
Can you also ask Baker's Eddie, please? Because I play them a lot on the show, and yeah, I really like them. They're technically New Zealand, but they live in Melbourne, so I like get around it that way.
Yeah.
But I premiered one of their songs recently, and was like, oh, up on the show, like lots of great music for Oz Music Month, and they like did a meme saying like we're not Australian. I was like, oh shit, I've been playing so much Baker's Eddie. So just can you ask them like whether they consider themselves vaguely Australian?
Yeah, true. We'll see if they like just cop the Crowded House thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We can own you. Yeah,
well, like Russell Crowe,
he's like Russell Crowe. Circle. He gets another mention. Good on you, Crowley. Yeah.
That's too
run any.
Yeah.
Please,
Russell. We'll send him the episode. He's coming on soon. Just like JD Fortune from NXS.
I've asked several people if Russell Crowe would like to come on and host Home and Hose with me one time, just to see what he's like and what music he'd be into.
I feel like I'd be really scared of him.
What music would he be into?
Yeah, it would be scary.
What do you reckon he listens to?
What would he be into? Well, he'd just be into straight rock, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, pub rock.
Pub rock.
Chisel?
Chisel and the Rabbitohs theme song.
Glory. Yeah.
20 times.
Yeah.
We're going to do like a 30-odd foot of grunt, do like a version, and do the Rabbitohs theme song. Next Oz Music Month, we'll try and make that happen.
That would legit top the hottest 100. Russell Crowe, Glory 2000. Just a cappella as well. No backing music.
And it's just Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be the shortest number one ever, wouldn't it? Beat Spider Bay.
Yeah, true.
Very short.
Mad.
That's a guarantee as well.
Yeah, get him on.
All right, let's wrap this up. Declan, thanks so much for coming on the show, mate. We really appreciate it.
Cheers,
really
man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you taking the time. Sweet as. All right, next week, Baker's Eddie, the half New Zealand, half Australian band. Not really, they're all full Kiwi. Follow us on the socials at Record Royale. Go buy a tote bag from the website. We got two more episodes of the year left, and then we got the bracket. All the season 5 episodes against each other, and then we're Christmas time, baby, and then we're into the new year, and we're back at it, and the first episode next year is huge, and we can't wait. Alright, we'll see you next week with Boys from Baker's Eddie. See you later. Bye to you.